Well, I'm very happy to be here tonight. I feel like I always say that every time I speak anywhere, but I am very, very happy to be here. And as some of y'all may realize, this is my last service here before I move up back to go to school. I move back up to Oklahoma on Saturday, and I'll be in Oklahoma. But for that reason, among others, there's just a special joy and gratitude in my heart to be here tonight. In the very last days of Jesus' life, Pilate stood before the Jews. He presented them with a decision to make. The Jews had taken Jesus to Pilate to be crucified, yet despite Pilate finding no fault in him out of fear of the people, he offered the Jews the choice of who to pardon, Barabbas or Jesus, murderer or Messiah, criminal or Christ. The Jews, of course, chose Barabbas to be pardoned, even though Jesus had done no wrong, except for threatening the power of the Jewish leaders by coming to them as coming down as the fulfillment of the old covenant. So Pilate releases Barabbas, and then in Matthew 27:22, he asks the Jews a very important question. What then shall I do with this Jesus, who is called the Christ? The Jews' response to this question would forever affect not only their lives, but their eternity as well. They screamed for him to be crucified despite Pilate's decree that he had done no evil. The Jews then decreed that Jesus' blood would be not just on their hands, but on the hands of their children. Now, someday these people are going to have to answer for their response to this question of what to do with Jesus, who is called Christ. They're going to have to stand before God himself and explain why, after all they had witnessed, after all they had heard, after seeing and experiencing the very Son of God as he had lowered himself to this earth, why they would choose to crucify his Son. Their response to this question would determine everything about their future, and it would lead to our Savior being beaten, scourged, humiliated, and hung upon a cross. It would lead to the most loving person in all of existence giving his all upon a cruel and a rugged cross as he died for our imperfections, our faults, our sins. In their response to this question, they deemed him worthy of all of this pain and suffering. They decreed that he deserved to die, when in actuality he was accepting the death that not only we deserve, but that they did too. Their response to this question was not only life-changing, not only soul-changing, but it would be world-changing. As we can see that through this terrible death, salvation has now been offered to the whole world. However, they're not the only ones who have ever had to answer this question. 3 days after Jesus died, there stood in Jerusalem an empty tomb that a king had previously occupied. Jesus defeated death and he rose up from the grave. And after he had risen, he went to see his disciples a couple of times. And try, if you can, to put yourself in their shoes. They've spent the better part of about 3.5 years with this man who claims to be and seems to be the Son of God. He spent all of this time learning and hearing about, or they have spent all of this time learning and hearing about this new way of living that he's bringing forth, which is so very different from anything they've ever known. Not only have they seen this man heal the sick, give sight to the blind, make the lame people walk, raise the dead, perform miracle after miracle after miracle out of nothing but love, all while shutting down the greatest and the most respected religious minds of the day. Not only have they seen him willingly hand himself over to a bloodthirsty mob who would in turn raise up false accusations to try and smear his name, to paint him as a blasphemous rebel before publicly murdering him. But now, after all of this, now they've seen him again. That he's alive again. And not just that, it's definitely him, because he's got the same nail prints in his hands. He's got the same scars that he had. The hole is still in his side. Truly, this is the same Jesus that they had spent the last couple of years with, but now he's raised from the dead. And Jesus spends a little bit more time with them, and in clear victory, once again leaves, but this time ascending back into heaven. What can the disciples say after all of this except, what now? After all they had seen, all they had heard, all they had experienced with Jesus, now that he's gone, what are they supposed to do with all of this? Unlike earlier, this time it's not Pilate asking them a question. It's not just flat out laid there, but it's them having to ask themselves, what now am I going to do with Jesus, who is the Christ? Well, thankfully, they didn't have to figure this answer out themselves. Matthew records Jesus' last teaching to them in Matthew 28, starting verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Mark records this in Mark 16, starting verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Luke records in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What are they to do with Jesus, who is the Christ? They are to go everywhere and tell anyone who will listen. How could they do anything else? They've had the blessing of experiencing and having a relationship with the very Son of God. For the last several years, they've experienced the peace, the love, and the hope that only he can bring. The Jews couldn't overtake him. Rome could not permanently kill him. Death itself could not even contain him or defeat him. Sin and evil have lost, and Jesus is standing victorious over all. And they've had firsthand witnesses to this. He is powerful enough to once and for all defeat Satan and abolish any claim that he could ever have to us, and yet loving enough to say, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. They have found the most powerful being, the creator of the universe, whose love knows no limit and whose desire for us to be with him is so strong that he would send his only son to sacrifice himself for our sins. They have found the answer to all life's problems, and his name is Jesus. So what could they possibly do except tell everybody? They have found the peace and the love, the hope that is found through Jesus. They have found what nearly everybody on this earth is searching, looking, craving for. So how could they keep it within themselves? How could they claim to be following and emulating Jesus while refusing to help out their fellow man find what they themselves have found? Thankfully, they didn't hold the hope of the gospel within themselves, but instead took it over time to the entire world, and we still have it today. In Acts 17, these disciples, 12 of whom were called apostles, are spoken of during this mission as the men who have turned the world upside down. We know it really wasn't them, though. Yeah, they were the messengers. They were the boots on the ground, if you will. But only God, as the creator of life itself, could change life so drastically for the better. Only God could make all of this possible, all that is possible through Jesus possible. The apostles knew this firsthand, as did everyone who followed Jesus. And city by city, town by town, the gospel grew and grew and grew until the world was forever changed. Just like the Jews at Jesus' trial, the disciples' response to the question, what then shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ, would change everything. Through following the teachings and fulfilling the commissions of Jesus, the world gained something that was previously impossible to attain. Hope. True hope of a better tomorrow. Even if that tomorrow comes in eternity, someday everything will be better as the cares and the pains of this life will forever fade away. Hope of eternal life in heaven. Hope of reconciliation with the God that loves us more than we could ever comprehend. The Jews and the disciples could not have had more different answers to this question. While one cried out demanding that Jesus receive the death that he deserved, the other cried out in praise and in thankfulness to tell others of how he faced the death that we deserve. While in the grand scope of things, both of these answers yielded a positive result that benefits all who will follow Jesus. For the individuals who gave these answers, the outcome could not be more different. God's will is done no matter what we do. Whatever we choose to do, whatever we want to do, God's will is going to be done. And it was God's will that Jesus would come to this earth and would die on that cross. But those who looked God's Son in the eye and told Pilate that he was deserving of death are going to have to answer to God for it. God's will for this world will be accomplished whether we like it or not. What's up for us to decide is whether or not we're going to allow God to use us in accomplishing it, or if we're going to work against it. The disciples decided to allow God to use them. And they devoted themselves entirely, not only to following Jesus and his teachings, but also to helping others find him as well. What about you? What shall you do with this Jesus who is the Christ? Every Sunday morning, we come together at this table. We remember, we focus on all that Jesus has done for us. So now what are you going to do about it? You may say, well, I'm definitely not going to be like the Jews. I'm not going to say that Jesus deserves to die, definitely not that. But I'm not sure about giving everything I got to him. I'm not sure about devoting my life to him. I mean, that's my life. However, there's no in-between. Jesus didn't say the greatest commandment is to love your God with some of your heart, a bit of your soul, and just a dash of your mind. No. He said, love God with your everything. The God that created you demands your all, and his Son who died for you deserves your all. To give anything less and to purposefully withhold part of yourself from God has no different result than the Jews who called for Jesus to be killed and gave nothing at all. Consider Hebrews chapter 10, starting verse 29. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment, do you suppose, will he be thought worthy of who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If what Jesus has done for you is not enough for you to devote your life to him, then what more do you want? There's not another sacrifice coming. There's nothing more, because he's already given everything. And if you choose to cast him aside, whether by word or by deed, then someday, like the Jews responsible for his death, you will have to answer to God for it. Jesus has given his all, and therefore he now deserves our all. So what shall you do with Jesus, who is the Christ? Will you withhold any part of yourself from him? Will you cast him aside? Will you deem all that he has done for you as not enough to deserve your devotion? Or will you give everything back to the one who has given everything for you? Will you devote your life and service to him? Will you spend your days on this earth growing in your love and devotion to the Lord? Will you, in every opportunity, do your best to help others find the peace, the hope, the joy that only comes through a relationship with a God that loves us more than we could ever understand? Will you give your life to Jesus? If you've never done that, then there's no better time to do so than right now. Just come forward, believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, every mistake you've ever made, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There we go. Won't you come forward and be baptized and have every sin, every mistake you've ever made washed away in the watery grave of baptism? Won't you rise out of that water a new creature with your life dedicated to God? If you'd like to do this, if you'd like to make the greatest decision of your life, then the invitation is here for you to come forward right up this aisle while we sing a song. Or if you're here and you're maybe uncomfortable about coming forward and doing that publicly, speak with any single one of us. We'd be happy to help you. If you're here today and you've already taken these steps, but you need to make something right for this assembly, then the invitation to come forward is here for you as well. What shall you do with Jesus, who is the Christ? If you've never answered this question, then the time to do so is right now, as we stand and sing.